your fellow redeemed. We have one last opportunity to take a look at the promises made as we look at the gospel promises of Isaiah. And so on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we turn our attention to the very familiar one that is there in Isaiah chapter 7. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel. Probably a very familiar prophecy, perhaps one of the most familiar prophecies in Isaiah. You probably remember memorizing it. If you come to our school service this afternoon, you'll hear the children recite it. If you come again on Christmas Eve, you hear us talk about it then. You probably remember memorizing it somewhere along the way. That amazing reminder, 700 years before it took place, that something amazing was going to take place. Something that only God could do. And so you and I rejoice to listen as the Lord speaks. As the Lord speaks to you and to me through the prophet Isaiah, as He speaks to us through His precious word, you and I rejoice in these amazing promises once again. And so Ahaz is the one who's going to teach us a couple of key truths when it comes to the fact that the Lord speaks. Don't test. Trust. As familiar as the setting is for what we have before us, familiar as the promise is, maybe the background isn't quite as familiar. The Lord spoke to Ahaz again, we're told. Part of the reason He had to speak to him again is because He was making reference to what you and I learn from these verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. So the Lord His God, this is referring to Ahaz, who was king of Judah, so the Lord His God gave him into the hand of the king of Aram. The Arameans defeated him and captured a great number of prisoners who were taken to Damascus. Ahaz was also given into the hand of the king of Israel, who dealt him a heavy blow. In one day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 men in Judah, all of them strong warriors, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Zikri, a strong warrior from Ephraim, killed the king's son, Maaseiah, as well as Ezekrim, chief officer of the palace, and Elkanah, second in command to the king. The men from Israel took 200,000 of their fellow Israelites captive, including wives, sons, and daughters. They also seized a large amount of plunder from them and took it to Samaria. Not a good day, if you're Ahaz. Things are coming apart at the seams. You've got these kings from Aram and the northern kingdom of Israel ganging up on him. And the opening words of Isaiah chapter 7 refer to this as Isaiah comes to the king Ahaz, who we are told was shaken in spirit, wondering what was going to happen. And so the Lord comes to his king, comes to the king of his people, and the Lord wants him to understand that even though these are horrible things, even though they are absolutely in no position now to handle any kind of an attack, Judah won't fall. God is going to take care of His people. And so Isaiah, the Lord, speaks to him again through his prophet, and he says, ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Ask for it either in the depths below or in the heights above. Ask for a sign. Only the Lord can offer this kind of a sign. He wants Ahaz to be so absolutely sure. He says, ask for whatever you want. Heights above, depths below, whatever it happens to be. Ask so that I will give you this sign so that you will know that I will keep my promise and your kingdom will not fall. And maybe you remember what Ahaz's response was. But Ahaz responded, I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. The Lord speaks, don't test. And as sad as it is to watch Isaiah simply refuse this offer, it probably is not a surprise to you and to me, because the words that preceded what we just read from 2 Chronicles 28 say this, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he ruled in Jerusalem for 16 years. He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. Instead, he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made cast images for the Baals and set up sacrifices and smoke in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He burned his sons in the fire, in keeping with the disgusting practices of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel. He also sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every leafy tree. He was always testing, constantly testing. Later on, you and I are told that that magnificent, glorious temple, the center of Israel's worship, Ahaz went and he boarded it up, closed it up, closed up all the windows, and he is busy running here, there, and everywhere. He is finding every high place, every little tree, every possible place to go and set up opposition worship temples. He is finding every god he possibly can, except the Lord. And he is doing exact opposite of what the Lord wanted his people to do. Constantly testing the Lord. And so now here's a guy who very obviously wasn't at all interested in giving honor and glory to the Lord, who kind of feigns his piety when he says, no, I don't want to test God. So therefore, I'm not going to ask for a sign. Don't test. Ahaz, arguably, could be one of the worst kings that Judah had. And as you and I listen to what Ahaz says, and as you and I watch this exchange of the Lord, his God, wanting to come, wanting to encourage him, wanting to call him back, and his absolutely refusal to do what God wanted him to do, you and I do also learn, don't test. The Lord is still speaking, right? And we may not be quite as blatant as Ahaz was, but every sinner at times simply refuses, simply tests, and simply says, God, I know what you have to say, but no thanks. God comes to us in his word, and he offers us his will and his ways. He offers us his promises and his forgiveness. And any time the created refuses the Creator, any time someone refuses the gifts that God brings, that's sin. That's rebellion. And while maybe not quite like Ahaz, think of the times when you and I have put up our hands and refused what God gives. He gives us the means of grace. He gives us His Word, and He gives us His sacraments, and He promises that this is where He's going to come to us. This is how He's going to tell you of His love. This is how He wants you to know about His grace. And how many times haven't we said, I don't think so. I've got my own ideas about how this life is supposed to work. I've got my own ideas of how I'm going to live. I've tried it God's way before, and that didn't work, so now I'm going to try it my way. No. I don't want your gifts. I've heard all of this before. I've learned it. No, I don't need it. There's all kinds of other things going on. You might have been tempted this day, since we've got Christmas coming up, just the day after tomorrow and the day after that. There's all kinds of things that need to be done yet. Maybe your list is getting longer instead of shorter. You keep checking things off, but you keep adding. For every time you do one thing, you got two more to add. Maybe I better take this time. Maybe I better not come. And I'm thankful that if that temptation was there, you fought it off. But there's always that temptation to say, no, I know better. I don't need it, at least not now. I've already done that this week. Or I will do it this week. I don't need it now. And we could come up with example after example. We could just walk our way through each of the commandments, and we could pick out times, at least 10, as examples of a million times when we took what God offered and refused his gifts. The Lord speaks. Don't test. As much as there are similarities between you and me and Ahaz, there is one difference. You're here. Unlike Ahaz, who wanted nothing to do with what God had to say, you understand the times when you put up your hand and you said to God, "No, I know what you say, but I don't want it." You understand the seriousness of your sin. You understand how desperately you need a Savior. You understand how necessary it is to come and cling to these promises, the promises that were made in Isaiah, the promises that were made throughout the pages of Scripture. And you've come here once again to hear what the Lord offers, to hear again that your sin is forgiven, to hear again that God has given you that forgiveness and has claimed you and brought you into His family. You've heard again that amazing message that God is going to be keeping His promises, all of the promises that He made. So don't test. Trust. The Lord speaks. And God's amazing grace still comes through, even though when you take a look at these verses, 10 through 14 of Isaiah 7, the vast majority of it is judgment as He addresses Ahaz, isn't it? Even before He gives this promise of Emmanuel, you'll notice that there's still a little bit of judgment there yet toward this king. So Isaiah said, "Listen now, you house of David, is it not enough for you to test the patience of men? Will you test the patience of my God as well? Therefore the Lord Himself will give a sign for all of you." As you're looking at those words, there's two little things that might jump out at you. Notice Isaiah says, "Will you test the patience of my God?" And if you look back up at verse 11, "Ask a sign from the Lord, your God." God had come, and He wanted Ahaz to recognize Him as his God. The Lord, despite everything that you and I just read about Ahaz, still wanted to be his God. He wanted Ahaz to consider Him his God. And so Isaiah says, "This is your God, not Baal, not Moloch, not all these other things you've imported into this world. The Lord is your God. He's the one who's coming." And when Isaiah says, "Nope, want nothing to do with it," now Isaiah talks about my God. Because now this is the God that you didn't want. But He still speaks. And notice the other little thing in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord," spelled a little differently. It's not all capitalized anymore. The Lord who came to him initially was the I Am God. The God of free and faithful grace, the God who keeps all of His promises, the God who simply is. The God who used that name every time He was referring to His covenant of grace and love to send the Savior. But since Ahaz wanted nothing to do with the Lord, I Am, now we go to the other word for Lord. Now we're going to the boss. Now we're going to talk about the Master. Now we're going to talk about the one who is in complete and total control of all things, and this is what He's going to do. And then He comes with this absolutely amazing promise. "Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel." Had Ahaz taken him up on his offer, and if Ahaz could have dreamed of the highest thing he could think of, he never would have come up with this sign. The Lord comes and He gives a sign that guarantees that what you and I are to behold when those angels arrive is something that only God can do. You and I rejoice in that precious little baby whose birthday we are about to celebrate. And we know who He is. This is Emmanuel. Because the virgin was with child. That's new. That's different. God said it was going to happen. This has to be God's hand. A son is going to be born. God's one and only Son enters into this world. And we know His name. His name is Emmanuel. And when we read in Matthew chapter 1, you and I are given the translation of those couple of Hebrew words that are mashed together. God with us. Behold that amazing promise. Trust. The Lord speaks. And you and I take a look at what that little baby is and we remind ourselves that this is Emmanuel, God. Isn't that amazing? God, the Creator, enters into creation. The Creator takes part in history. God Himself steps into this world, steps into your world, steps into your rebellion, steps into your sin, and He steps in to take your place. And He's absolutely perfect at it. He grows up, He learns, He studies, He's a neighbor, He's a worker, He's a teacher, He's a Savior. God does all of that for you. Trust when the Lord speaks. God with us. He's also true man. God wraps Himself in human flesh, steps into this world, places Himself under the law that we have attempted to keep at times but never could, places Himself under the law that we have at times just simply shoved off to the side. He did it all in our place. And then He takes all the things that you and I have done and He carries them to that cross. And as true man dies and is buried, trust. Trust when the Lord speaks, because this is that amazing gift of the forgiveness that you have in Him. As familiar as this promise is, you and I rejoice. Rejoice this day as we have one more Sunday in Advent. We're getting ready to worship our Lord and our God and start our Christmas celebrations this afternoon. But this morning is still Advent. We're still preparing. We're still getting ready. We're still anxious for Him to come. We're still rejoicing in the fact that we've had the privilege of listening to the Lord speak. And all those times that we tested, we pick them up. We take them to our Lord. Better yet, our Lord comes to us and He picks them up, but He carries them away. And we trust. We trust that when He comes at the end of time, He will bring us everything that He has promised. And then He will be once again Emmanuel, just as He is now. God will be with us, and we will be with Him, and we will be with Him in the glories of heaven. That's His promise. That's the promise made. Listen as the Lord speaks. Amen.